I'd like to begin this morning by sharing this little story with you. There was once a man and a woman who interrupted their vacation to go to the dentist. The woman said to the dentist, "I just want that tooth pulled out. I don't want any painkillers. I'm in a hurry. Just yank the tooth as fast as possible and we'll be on our way." Well, the dentist was very impressed and he asked her, "Wow," he said to her, "you're a very brave woman. Why don't you show me which tooth it is?" Then she turned to her husband and said, "Go ahead, sweetie, show him your tooth." It's easy to talk brave when you're not the one who has to be brave. But how do you keep from panicking when you have tests coming up at school and you have all four of them on the same day? How do you keep from panicking when you're unemployed and your unemployment is running out and you still don't have any job perspectives? How do you keep from panicking when you have no money? You're looking at the bottom of the freezer and all you have left is a bag of frozen vegetables. When the doctor calls and the prognosis is not good. Well, in today's text, Jesus teaches us what we need to know when we face situations that we can't handle on our own. We're going to look at a story in Mark's gospel, and then we're going to talk about where is God when we face fearful situations. Now, this story is found in Mark chapter 6. In this story, Jesus has performed a great miracle. He has just finished feeding 5,000 people with five loaves of bread and two fish. And then in verse 45, it says, immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and head across the lake to Bethsaida while he sent the people home. After telling everyone goodbye, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Late that night, the disciples were in their boat in the middle of the lake, and Jesus was all alone on land. And he saw that they were in serious trouble, rowing hard and struggling against the wind and waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them, walking on the water. He intended to go past them, but when they saw he was walking on the water, they cried out in terror, thinking he was a ghost. They were all terrified when they saw him. But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage. I am here." Then he climbed into the boat, and the wind stopped. They were totally amazed, for they still didn't understand the significance of the miracle of the loaves. Their hearts were too hard to take it in. And so Jesus had just fed over 5,000 people with five loaves of bread and two fish. He met their need in a miraculous way. Yet the gospel writer tells us that the disciples still didn't understand the significance of the miracle of the loaves and that their hearts were too hard to take it in. When the Apostle John writes about this great miracle of Jesus feeding the 5,000, in his gospel account, he tells us that following this miracle, the people intended to make Jesus their king by force. But instead of forming a group of supporters, Jesus broke up the crowd and separated them from his disciples. And both Matthew and Mark used the word immediately, saying immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and head across the lake to Bethsaida while he sent the people home. And John's gospel says that the crowd wanted to crown Jesus as king. It's as if the crowd started to think, hey, here we are, we have an army of 5,000 men, and here's God's prophet, maybe even the Messiah with God's power and anointing, just like Moses. Let's rally behind Jesus and storm the gates of Jerusalem and establish our own kingdom. But Jesus didn't want anything to do with their plan. He was only interested in God's plan, and he didn't want his disciples to be poisoned with ideas of storming the gates of Jerusalem with swords. And so he broke up the crowd. He sent his disciples one way by boat, and the crowd the opposite direction by foot. And then he went off by himself to pray to the Father. The scripture says the disciples still didn't understand the significance of the miracle because their hearts were too hard to take that all in. So Jesus wanted the disciples to learn something about faith and about trusting God. And so he insisted his disciples get back into that boat and head across the lake. But when the disciples got into the middle of the Sea of Galilee, a storm came up and they began to struggle. If you've ever been in a boat during a storm, you know what that feels like. It's quite scary. I remember A summer day long ago at Buffalo Pound Lake, when I was still a teenager, a friend and I wanted to go to the provincial park. So my grandfather let us use his fishing boat with its small outboard engine. The distance was about 4 kilometers by water to the park from our cabin. And so it didn't take us all that long to get there. And when we arrived, we pulled the boat up onto the beach. We enjoyed the day at the park. But later in the afternoon, the weather started to turn. It began to rain and the strong winds began to blow. And so we decided we needed to head back to the cabin. But after we launched the boat from the shore, we tried heading home. But the wind and the waves were coming against us head on. And we opened up the throttle all the way on that little outboard engine. But when we looked at the shore beside us, we could see that the boat wasn't even moving. We weren't making any progress because the wind was so strong. And the waves were going so high. And we were going nowhere. And so we had to navigate our way back to the shore. And we had to phone my grandfather to come with his boat trailer and pick us up from the park. Now the Gospel of Mark, it tells us that the disciples were already in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, a very large body of water, when the storm hit them. And they were too far out, I'm sure, to turn back to shore, otherwise they would have. So they seemed to be trapped there in the middle of the lake, the middle of the Sea of Galilee, in the storm. And there they battled the wind and the storm for several hours. I can just picture them there, just bouncing up and down in the waves, and trying to row that boat, but going nowhere. The scriptures say that they left in the evening, but they're still in the storm during the fourth watch, or what is between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. in the morning. And so for several hours, the disciples were paddling this wooden fishing boat in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, in the middle of a dark night, in the middle of a storm. And they must have been tired and cold and discouraged and frightened. They must have wondered, where was Jesus while they were there in the midst of the storm? And in a similar way, when we struggle with the storms of life, the darkness of discouragement or stress or disappointment, we might ask the same question that they must have asked. Where is God during the storm? And I want you to know that in the midst of the storm, you can trust God to be your companion. And I want to show you three ways in which this is true. First of all, I want you to see that you can trust God even when the storm hides the presence of God. Sometimes in the storms of life, we may fear that our cries for help go unheard. For example, on April 14th, 1912, the ocean liner, the Californian, was about 1,500 miles out of the harbor of Boston. At midnight, the watchman, Herbert Stone, and his apprentice noticed some flashing lights out on the sea, which appeared to be coming from another ship. They tried to communicate through Morse code, but were unsuccessful. And then looking through binoculars, it appeared as if the steamer was sailing away from them. Not once did it occur to them that the flashing lights might be a cause for concern. Unknowingly, they had witnessed the sinking of the Titanic less than 9 miles away. The tragedy is that hundreds of lives could have been saved that night. And the Titanic had sent dozens of distress signals across the radio, but the California never received them because the radio operator had fallen asleep. Now, in a similar way, when we are in a storm, we may feel that our prayers are not reaching God, or that he has abandoned us, or is ignoring us. It may feel that way for us sometimes, but that's not the case. In fact, Mark's account of the story tells us that Jesus was watching them throughout the night. It says he saw them. He saw that they were in serious trouble, rowing hard and struggling against the wind and the waves. I think that's comforting to know that Jesus is watching them while he prayed. They couldn't see Jesus, but he could see them. And he's praying for them, just like he intercedes for you in your times of trouble. And then it says about 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them, walking on the water. Jesus saw their struggle. He prayed for them. And he went to them in the middle of the sea, in the middle of a dark night, in the middle of a storm. And in a similar way, God sees your struggle, and he's compassionate towards you. He hasn't overlooked you. In fact, God is always on the job. He's always aware of you. In Psalm 121, it says that God who watches over you will not slumber. You see, even though the storm may hide his presence from you, you can know that he is there. And God sees your struggle, whether it's temptation or grieving or suffering or fear or discouragement. He sees you, and he comes to you with grace and compassion. Psalm 103 tells us, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. God is compassionate towards you, and he is your companion in the storm. Maybe you've experienced that already. Maybe you've been through the storm and you've experienced the strength and the grace that's provided by his presence. You've learned to trust him through that. Some of you remember about 11 years ago, I was sitting in a waiting room at the Toronto General Hospital, waiting while my wife, Karen, was having open heart surgery. She was born with a genetic heart defect, and as the symptoms grew worse, she came to the place where she needed surgery if she was going to enjoy any quality of life. And it was a very stressful time. But as I sat in the waiting room, I knew that I wasn't alone. I knew that God was my companion as I waited there for a word that Karen was okay. And more importantly than that, I knew that God was with her in that operating room as well. And as we faced our own storm, we learned again that God is compassionate towards us, and he is our companion during the storm. We learned that during the storm, we can trust God even when the storm hides the presence of God. He is with you in your time of need. Secondly, when we ask, where is God in the storm? I want you to know that you can trust God even when the storm hides the voice of God. There was a time in the life of the Old Testament prophet Elijah when he reached rock bottom. The storms of life got to be too much for him, and he ran away, begging God to take his life. And there alone in the wilderness, he encountered God, but it didn't happen as we would expect. Elijah was alone on the mountain. He witnessed a great and powerful wind, and then an earthquake, and then a blazing fire. But God wasn't found in any of those. Then Elijah heard a gentle whisper, a still small voice. In that voice, he experienced the presence of God. It's the same way for us today. In the midst of the storm, God's voice may seem to be hidden from us, but he can be found in the stillness if we will listen. Let me share with you a story, a modern-day parable. It goes like this. There was once a man who owned a sawmill. And one day he lost his expensive pocket watch in the sawdust. He offered a reward to anyone who could find it. And many searched through the sawdust with rakes and whatnot, looking for this valuable watch, but no one had any luck. And finally, an elderly man asked to be left alone in the sawmill for just a few minutes. Then he went inside. And 10 minutes later, he came out with the watch. The grateful owner asked, how did you accomplish that in such a short time, what none of us could do in an hour? The man responded, he said, I laid down in the sawdust. It was very still. I just stayed there until I heard the watch ticking. It was really the watch that found me. In a similar way, when we wait quietly before the Lord, we can hear his voice. The Spirit of God speaks to our spirit. We first must be still and quiet our minds and wait so we can hear the whispers of the Holy Spirit. So don't be deceived into thinking that because you are going through a storm, that God is uncaring or unwilling or unable to help you, or that he's forgotten you. The opposite is true. The Bible tells us that Jesus spoke to the disciples in the midst of the storm. And when the disciples began to panic, the Bible says, but Jesus spoke to them at once. Don't be afraid, he said. Take courage. Here I am. And when you're in a storm, many voices may be telling you that take this course or take that course or do this or do that. But when you are in a state of despair, please take this advice. Don't make any life-changing decisions before you seek God and seek the advice of other praying believers. And give yourself time to wait upon the Lord for direction. Remember, it was Jesus who told them to get into the boat and go to Bethsaida in the first place. They were doing exactly what Jesus had told them to do, and now they were in a storm. And when you experience adversity, don't assume that you're out of God's will. God may be trying to speak to you. Remember, Jesus said, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." Jesus came to them in the middle of the sea, in the middle of the night, in the middle of the storm. And he spoke to them at once, saying, "Don't be afraid." He said, "Take courage. Here I am." In a similar way, God will speak to you, and he'll reassure you in the midst of your storm. And thirdly, we can trust God even when the storms hide the hand of God. Starting at verse 51, it says, "Then he climbed into the boat, and the wind stopped. They were totally amazed, for they still didn't understand the significance of the miracles of the loaves, and their hearts were too hard to take it in." Now, some of you may be in one of life's storms right now, and you may be wondering if it will ever end. And that's how storms in life sometimes feel, like they will never end. Storms can cause us to feel hopeless. In fact, even great men of the Bible experienced that kind of despair. Men like Moses and Elijah and Jonah all accomplished great things for God. And yet all three of these men were so disheartened with life at one point that they contemplated suicide. In the middle of the storm, Moses was so discouraged by the attitude of the Israelites that he told God, "If this is how you're going to treat me, put me to death right now. If I have found favor in your eyes, and do not let me face my own ruin." Elijah prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." And Jonah wanted to die and said, "It would be better for me to die than to live." Maybe someone here today feels hopeless. Some are in the darkness of discouragement. Some are in the darkness of depression. But don't give up. Miss the storm. Hang on to the grace of God, because the storm will pass. The enemy wants you to believe that you are beyond God's help. But the Lord says to you, "So do not fear, for I'm with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." You're never out of the care of the Savior. And you may be very, very close to the other side of the storm. The storm that you're facing hasn't driven God away. He sees you and he's ready to help you through the storm and to the other side. The psalmist wrote, "Weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes with the morning." In other words, he's saying that we will pass through dark times in life, but these experiences are only temporary. However, hope is eternal. Moses and Elijah and Jonah, they all faced storms in life, but they also experienced God's deliverance and power. And so did the disciples of Jesus that day on the water. The Gospel of Mark tells us, "But Jesus spoke to them at once. 'Don't be afraid,' he said. 'Take courage. I am here.' And then he climbed into the boat, and the wind stopped." The Bible says they were totally amazed. In their struggle, in their panic and fear, Jesus comes to them. But first he calms their fears, and then he calms the wind. You ever noticed that before? First he calms their fears, and then he calms the wind. He could have calmed the wind while he was watching them and praying. But remember, he said that the disciples still didn't understand the significance of the miracle of the loaves, because their hearts are too hard to take it in. You see, Jesus wanted to teach them something. He wants to teach them about where their faith should be. So Jesus came to them when they were in the middle of the sea, in the middle of the night, in the middle of the storm. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage." But why wouldn't they be afraid? I mean, it's pitch black. The wind is so strong that they can't get the boat to shore. The waves are so high, they're going to capsize the boat. Why wouldn't they be afraid? Well, Jesus tells them why. He tells them, "I am here." Before he climbs into the boat, before he calms the sea, before he calms the wind, while he's still standing on the water, he says to them, "Don't be afraid. Take courage. I am here." And then he climbed into the boat, and the wind stopped. First, he calmed their fears, and then he calmed the wind. You see, once Jesus takes care of the storm brewing inside of us, he's ready to deal with the storm brewing outside. Jesus wants to teach us the same thing as he taught them in the storm, that he is Lord. In all circumstances, in all the seasons of life, in all things, Jesus is sovereign. He is Lord. So let me challenge you with this question today. Where is your faith? Where's your faith today? Do you have faith to trust God in the midst of your storm? John's gospel says that the disciples were eager to let him in the boat, and immediately they arrived at their destination. If you want the storms in your life to subside, you need to be willing to take Jesus into your boat. If you want to overcome fearful situations, you need to make Jesus the captain of your life. Whatever storm you're facing, you can trust the hand of God to take you safely through it to the other side. In the midst of the storm, you can trust God to be your companion. So whatever storm you're facing, don't give up hope. Trust God. He's with you. He's going to bring you safely to the other side. I'm going to invite the worship team to come this morning. I want to pray with you. I want to ask you, are you facing any of life's storms today? Let's pray and invite Jesus to come into your boat. Wherever you are, just make that place an altar and bring your need to the Lord as we pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks, we give you praise. We worship Jesus this morning. We thank you for this story, this example of faith in difficult times. And Lord, as we read this text from Scripture, we're reminded that you are sovereign, that you are Lord over all. And Lord, we know that everything that happens, Lord God, you are bigger than those things. Thank you, Lord. And we know that you see our need today. Thank you. You know us intimately, and you see the very needs and struggles that we're facing. And we thank you, O God, that you intercede for us. You're at the right hand of the Father interceding for us, Lord God, presenting our needs. And we thank you for that, that we have a high priest, Jesus, who's entered heaven and intercedes for us. That you have gone through the challenges of life as you walked on this earth. You understand temptations and struggles as you were tempted in the desert and faced opposition. Lord, we thank you that you understand and can empathize with our needs, and you are compassionate towards us. You intercede and pray for us in heaven. And our hope is in you, Lord, because we understand that these things are temporary. These testings and trials are temporary, but our hope is eternal in you. That's right. And so, Lord, we look beyond these things and see what's greater, our eternal hope. Be pleased that you'll be with us as we face each storm in life. Help us to walk in faith and bring us words of comfort and encouragement, we ask, words of affirmation. We ask that your hand would now work on behalf of those who are here this morning, who are carrying difficult needs and situations. We cast these cares upon you because you care for us. We ask that you move by your mighty hands. We trust you. We thank you for the answers of prayer that we have had so many times. We know that you will continue to do so. We ask that you give us the peace of Christ, which transcends all understanding. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.